Father, we thank you that we can celebrate with the Van Deventers, Father, and even as we come into the Word now, we celebrate your faithfulness, God, and that we can literally, as your Word says, feed off your faithfulness, feed, Lord, of the knowledge of your goodness, Lord, and be filled be satisfied, knowing that you're good, knowing that you're faithful toward us, God. So as we draw near to this evening, Lord, we thank you that you promise that you draw near to us, God. We thank you that we have we'd be absolutely convinced, persuaded, Father, that as we enter your presence, Lord, we are changed, Lord. As we yield our hearts to you, and that as we soften our hearts and we choose to receive your word, God, that each one of us here will hear from you, Father, and receive a blessing from you, God. And I just want to speak that over every person here, that knowing that you can know that God knows and is prepared for you being here tonight and loves you and has a special, just a blessing for you tonight. So be receptive, be open, open your heart to hear what God has on his heart for you, and be receptive to receive a blessing from him tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so just a bit of context before we get to the first scripture. looking at the nation of Israel, just to do the left arrow. Okay. So just before we get to the first one, the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt. Okay, initially when they moved to Egypt, it was because of the because of Joseph and because of the grain story and the famine, etc. So the whole family, the clan of the sons of Jacob moved to Israel, to Egypt, as free people. But over the years, they became a slave nation, and they were enslaved to the Egyptians, and they basically lived there and were slaves to the Egyptians. So this carried on for 400 years. And long story short, beautiful time. We're going to point everything pointing to us as well, and our sinful state being enslaved to sin. And then as God sent Abraham, sorry, I'm like throwing the names this evening. Okay, God sends a redeemer. God sends a leader, a redeemer, a mediator that will bring his people out. So he sends Moses to lead the people out of slavery. And Moses there being a type of Christ coming that would deliver us from slavery and out of the bondage of sin and death. So we see Moses leading them out, and we see that the last sign that God gives is the one of the Passover, of the death of the firstborn, and they had to kill the Passover lamb to prevent them from falling under the same judgment. And again, a beautiful picture of Christ being the lamb that had paid, that was died in our place, so that we don't have to die. And so the nation comes out of Israel, out of Egypt. Israel comes out of Egypt. The Pharaoh actually sends his armies after them. They go through the Red Sea, which points to baptism, and they even delivered out of that and out of the hands of the Egyptians, and they come to the culmination of their deliverance, which is they come to the Jordan River, beyond which lies the promised land, the land which has been promised to them for generations, the land for which they left Egypt. And and I'm going to quickly read here what happens there. They send out some spies to check out the land, which isn't a bad thing. It's good to be aware of what you're facing. But we see here that they face something, and I feel that this is something we often also face. So let's quickly look at this in Numbers chapter 13. If you want to go in there with the right button. Just the right arrow. Arrow's not working. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so from verse 30. Then Caleb Caleb was one of the two spies that went out, Joshua and Caleb. Two of them came back with positive reports, and then the other guys were not so positive. So let's just read. Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight." So they came to this place of seeing, there it is. There's the land. It's the promised land. This is it. And now they're faced with the challenges that lie ahead. And they're faced with the reality of the challenges that face them. And I believe often, even as believers, we come out of a background of sin and death. We come out of being a place of being enslaved to so many things, and we are delivered when we were saved, when we are born again, we are saved, and we go through the waters of baptism. So we have a real relationship with God. So there's real quality of life, and there's real abundance of life. But it is as if many of us, we come out of that place, and then we're almost in limbo, because we have not yet entered into the fullness of God's promise and His plan for us. And that is, I suppose, is a continual process, and along with our process of sanctification, that it's if there are specific things that kind of that keep us from really taking possession, as Caleb said, yeah, let's take possession of it. It's taking possession of that God has prepared for each person, each unique person, and us as a congregation as well. So let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Now this, just a bit of context again, this is what happens there is that in the previous verse is the guys are scared and they say, it's not going to work. These guys are too big. And although this is the promise of God, although this is the destiny of God, this is God's plan for them, they're in fear and in unbelief and in disobedience, they decide not to cross the Jordan. And they actually change their mind soon after, but God is not pleased. Okay, so He takes them into the wilderness for 40 years to basically come to a place where the older generation that was struggling with that unbelief had then kind of passed, and then the new generation would be able to, in faith, receive the promise of God and enter into the promised land. And we see Caleb and Joshua are still around. Okay, now it's 40 years later. They're still game. They're still ready. It's amazing. Full of faith, ready to go. And they kind of remain from that previous generation. And here we see, right at the beginning of of the book of Joshua, how when God speaks to Joshua. Let's read from verse 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage.'" And we see this incredible affirmation. We see this incredible blessing that an affirmation that He speaks over him. And not only does He affirm him, not only does He confirm that He is with him, but He also gives him, He tells him what the territory is. He tells him, this is from here to there to that river, that is the territory, this is the place that I've prepared for you. And now, okay, look, yeah, Joshua was not a wimp, right? He's quite a serious warrior. He's kind of a veteran. He's been around for many years, But we see still that God affirms him and tells him, do not be afraid, be strong, be courageous, be of good courage. And I believe that's because he needed it. And often, it's the same with us. You know, we stand in front of, we hear the promises of God, we hear what he has in store for us, we hear about all these amazing things, but there's something in the back of your mind, and maybe that's you this evening, that you have maybe had a taste of relationship with God, but you know, or there's something in the back of your mind where you know that you have yet to walk in the fullness of what God has prepared. There's something still that you know God has got for you and for your family. And I'm always encouraged when I read, for instance, Apostle Paul, when he goes into a specific city. And now the Apostle Paul, after his conversion from being a great persecutor of Christians, he becomes one of the apostles, and probably, I don't know, the most, you know, obviously the most read, as he wrote about 3/4 of the New Testament. But he plants hundreds, if not thousands, of churches, and through his ministry and his missionary journeys and the people that he raised up, I mean, the world was turned upside down, along with the work of the other apostles. But even the Apostle Paul, as he goes into the city, God comes to him in a dream, and he says to him, do not fear. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. I've got many people in the city. So even that mighty man of God who was raised from the dead once, and he's, you know, been beaten almost to death a few times, and he's gone through all those hectic things. There was this experience, you know, he was bitten by a snake once and just shrugged it off, and miracles and amazing things. Even he had struggled with fear. And God had came and affirmed him, said, and encouraged him, saying, do not be afraid. I'm with you. I'm for you. I've got people, I've prepared people. I've got people there in the city. So even as you and I, face challenges in terms of our destiny and what God has prepared, we can know that he's with us. I'm just going to walk to this side for a moment and get my notes, so just don't panic. We see, even as we've come as believers, we've come out of our Egypt, and we've come into relationship with God, that's not the end of it. And often I believe there are believers out there that come into relationship and come into church, and they come into a comfortable place, and they feel, well, this is good. I can do this. I can cruise. It looks like it's downhill from here, so I can just cruise from here. And I can just sit back and look, God is good to me. I've got what I need. I'm blessed. I'm provided for. I've no lack. And this is good. But I feel that often in that place, we're standing on the banks of the Jordan maybe, and it looks good there. It's beautiful. There's provision. But still, actually, the real promise is beyond. It's still to come. And we have not yet taken possession of it. Okay. Let's have a look in terms of just personally how God has gone before us. Let's quickly look at something Jesus said in Matthew 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now Jesus makes this promise, and he it's one of the less popular promises, where he says, listen, there will be tough times. There will be difficult things that you will face. There will be tribulation. There will be, and obviously we know God takes us through, you know, a bit of shaping experiences, and he takes us through harder times and testing times that test our faith and purifies it, and, you know, builds our character and builds our relationship with God. And that's where the testimonies comes from, right? Come from. How can we have testimonies unless there are tests, unless there are testing times? So that's where the testimonies come from. That's how we can give glory to God, because we have experienced his faithfulness when when it really mattered, right? But he says, so this is guaranteed. So, and if you're really pursuing Christ and if you're pursuing His kingdom, you're not just going to coast. Okay, maybe that's bad news for somebody. Maybe you're not just going to cruise and kind of drift into heaven one day. There are going to be things that come against us. And but then he gives this confirmation and this affirmation, and the same words that Caleb uses says, "Let's go, because we will surely overcome them." And he says, "Yeah, be of good cheer. I have overcome. I've overcome the world. I've already won the victory. I've already done the work. I've already overcome." So even this says there will be tough times. He says, the victory is won. Okay, so he's with us. He's for us. He's affirming his presence, and he's affirming that he will not forsake us. Now let's quickly look at, in terms of personally, how he feels. And the other night I went to an event. It was called God's Not Dead. As part of the 20-year celebration of the Every Nation Church in London. We've got some friends there. And one of the co-founder, Ross Brooks, came to speak. And one of the things he spoke about, which is a popular thing when talking about creation, evolution, and kind of debates around that. And he was talking about what is called irreducible complexity, where you have a mechanism in nature that cannot operate unless all the parts are present. Okay, so for instance, your eye. The guys can't figure out how the eye could have evolved, because if you take one part away, it doesn't work. So it's not like, you know, 100,000 years ago, people saw like dimly, and then it got better, and then they saw like black and white, and then it became color, like TV. It's not like that, okay? If you just remove one bit, one part of the eye, it doesn't work. So you have lots of mechanisms in the body like that where guys can't figure out how it could have evolved, because you can't add parts until it works. It has to have everything to work. Are you with me? So that's one of the challenges of the evolution theory. But for us as believers in a designer, in a creator God, it makes good sense. And in terms of that irreducible complexity, the detail in that, and just the amazing design of God, in the same way, God has designed and purposed every person here and every person out there in a very specific and very unique way. Let's quickly read from Psalm 139, from 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed me. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Powerful picture. If you think of little Noah that was up here just now, even before the parents knew, God already knew. Before the foundation of the earth, he knew that she's going to have those beautiful eyes and she's going to have that smile. And he prepared and planned in very, very infinite detail her person and who she's going to be and every day of her life. Isn't that a bit mind-boggling? He knew even before the foundation of the earth that you were going to be sitting here today, and he knows how many hair you have on your head, which is, I don't know if it's comforting or scary, because I've got some problems here at the back, but... it kind of boggles our mind a bit because of the intimacy of his knowledge of us.
And not only our details about who we are and what we are, but our hearts and what goes on in our hearts and our minds. And this here, the psalmist here is kind of overwhelmed by the fact that of God's design and His plan and His preparation of every day and everything that He's worked out for them, every day of life prepared before. And let's go on to Jeremiah. When God calls Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And we see this kind of, again, this picture of God's putting him together and putting us together and very specifically designing and planning and preparing. And then, but then we see another thing here. We see purpose. We see God saying, I know what I've prepared for you. I know who I am sending you to. I know the good works that I've prepared for. I know even I've put my word in your mouth. And then he says, do not be afraid. I will deliver you. And you know, he's got his reservations. He says, I'm a young man. He says, do not say that. But, and he says that you shall go to all whom I send you to. And whatever I command, you shall speak. So it's affirming and it's encouraging, but it's also a little bit scary because it speaks of God saying, you will go where I send you and you will say what I say. So it's a very specific instruction. It's a very specific plan and purpose that is set out. But at the same time, there's incredible destiny that is laid out for him and for each person here and each person out there. And it's encouraging to realize that, you know, even when we are afraid, and that's why I believe God wants to encourage us this evening, when we do not know what lies ahead. We don't know. We see the giants. We see these hectic things coming. And our initial reaction is just, no, avoid, you know, run. Get out of here. But God wants us to seek him to a place where we know that this is the territory that God has set out for me. And I want to throw this out there this evening. Do you know? Have you heard that? Do you know what is your territory? Because how can you go and take it if you don't know what it is? Are you with them? When they crossed in later, they divided up the land into the different tribes, and every tribe got their little bit, and they said, okay, they sat with a map, with Google, you know, Google Maps, and they, you know, drew like lines and stuff. No, but they said, okay, from that river to there, and they made very clear boundaries. And every tribe had to go and take ownership, take possession of their little bit. And in the same way, you and I, how often do we just kind of drifting, maybe you're in the promised land, you're kind of just drifting in and out and visiting other people's territory, not knowing what is the thing, what are the good works. Now, territory, I'm not only talking about your house or your, I'm talking about your workplace. What is the territory there? What is the spiritual ground that God has prepared for you to take and to take possession of? What are the good works that God has set out for you to possess, to take a hold of, to say, yes, God, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to go for it. I know you're with me. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm scared. It looks crazy. But here I go. Put your word in my mouth. Show me what you prepared for me. Show me the boundaries that I will not go into presumption into something that's not for me, but that I will be confident in this. This is it. This is what God has entrusted to me. And that's easy around our family. You know, we know, okay, this is my family. This is the people I'm trusting God to be, you know, for their salvation. This is, you know, in the workplace even, it's a bit easier. But how many of us have asked God about that? Lord, what is your will for me here? What is your plan for me here in terms of the territory, the land that I can possess here, the spiritual ground that that you want to gain, your purpose and your good work that you've prepared for me here? Or what does it look like? Okay, let's continue. But I just want to encourage you before we do. He knows you, okay? And it's a little bit scary because we can't hide from him. But at the same time, I want us to get beyond the scary bit of it and the place where you realize he loves you. He knows you in all your detail, all your flaws. He knows stuff about you that the people that know you best don't know, okay? Husbands and wives. Tonight, you know, it's amazing in marriage, you can't hide stuff, right? Can't hide the weaknesses that come out. And he even knows beyond those. He knows you. And yet, he loves you. Isn't it? That's good to know, right? He knows the brutal truth. He knows you know, we're basically all naked before him because he knows us intimately, in detail. And yet, he loves us the same, just as you are. He loves you into a place that he sent his son to pay the highest price for you. Even with that knowledge, even the knowledge of our weaknesses and our failures, he loves us. Okay, let's continue. Let's see some more of God's, just his affirmation, his encouragement to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, powerful, powerful affirmation. I'm with you. I'm all for you. But then he gives a very powerful instruction. He says, the word is important. And why? Why do we read the word? Why do we go on about reading the word regularly? Why do we go on about, you know, filling ourselves with scripture? Why do we go on about Bible school? It's because how can you take the land if you haven't heard the voice of the commander? If you haven't heard the voice of the one that would tell you, this is it. This is your property. How can we respond to him if we're not hearing what he's saying? How can we have a relationship with someone if we're not getting to hear what he's saying through the word? Because that's still the primary way, one of the primary ways that God speaks to us. Not the only one. But he speaks through his word. So it's critical for us to sit under the word and to hear and to seek him. And I want to just trust God for just a drop of seed. This came out in intercession. Of expectation in our hearts. When last did you dare to dream of the magnificent things that God has prepared for you? When last did you have one of the go up on the mountain like God did, you know, took Moses up on the mountain and he showed him there, that's the land right there. Look at it, it's beautiful, it's magnificent, it's glorious. It's beyond what you've thought, what you've dreamed, it's amazing. When last did you dare to dream about that, dare to have an expectation of God's glory and what he has prepared for you and his goodness towards you? And adjust your daily life according to that. Living as if there is a creator God of the universe, the all-powerful one that has got good things in store for me today. Isn't that something to be joyful about? It's good news, amen? Good news tonight, hallelujah. Okay, Isaiah 52, 11 and 12. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Very powerful. It speaks about that. Go and read the context when you have time. It says there, it comes to the point of you who bear the vessels. You have received something from the Lord and you're carrying it for him. You've received a commission. You've received a command. And he says there, the Lord will go before you and he will also be your rear guard. To be honest with you, this is, you know, I hang on to this promise daily in ministry, when ministering to people, you know. And often how often do we miss stuff that God is doing because we're afraid? But, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not prepared. I'm not sure if I can do it. We procrastinate, or we find reasons, we rationalize reasons why I shouldn't do this thing that I've got in my heart, because now I've got the stuff that I don't have anything and everything I need to do it, or, you know, it's not possible really. How often do we do that with things that God lays on our hearts, and we forget that He says, no, I've gone before you, and but I'm also coming behind you. I'm also, and you know, when I've ministered to someone, or you know, especially when sharing the gospel with someone or praying for maybe somebody I don't know, often I need to just thank God. I say, Lord, I thank you that you've prepared before I go, before I speak, you've prepared. And even, you know, afterwards, I can trust that whatever nonsense I've said, the people will forget that, and they will only remember what was in the heart of God, and only remember what was God breathed. Amen. That those are the seeds that will take root and will grow and bring glory to His name. But we can have this confidence that not only doesn't He forsake us, but He goes before and He prepares and He comes behind, He protects. In the battle, it's good to have somebody watching your back, right? But also somebody that is partnering with us, the King of the universe that goes before us and that is our rear guard. Mind-boggling stuff. And then Psalm 68, 1, 2, 3. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Now, it speaks here of enemies. Have you read often in the Old Testament, especially the psalmist David writes about the enemies. He says, oh Lord, he prays to God, Lord, deliver me from my enemies. Deliver me from the guys that want to kill me. Have you read that? Have you ever thought, there's not really anybody out to kill me? I don't know about you. If you do have somebody out to kill me, please come forward. We'll pray for you afterwards. But, you know, I've thought about this. I thought, I don't really have enemies like that. I don't have people that want to kill me. All right? And then I just realized that beyond the physical people, that we've got other enemies today. Okay, we have the enemy, which is the devil, the enemy of our souls, the one that's called the accuser of the brethren. And so, yes, we know about him. But what are the other enemies? What are the enemies that oppose the kingdom coming in and through my life? What are the things, what are the enemies that are keeping me from advancing into my territory that God has laid out, my promised land, my part of this promised land that we as a congregation are taking? What are those enemies? I can't go into a lot of detail, but I just want to throw a few out there. Pride. Pride opposes the kingdom coming in and through our lives. Fear is always a big one. Fear of many things. Fear of man, fear of whatever may come. So many fears that oppose us, the enemy that opposes us. Pastor Fred used a phrase which I enjoyed. He spoke about weapons of mass distraction. How many distractions are keeping us from even knowing where our promised land is, from even knowing what God has prepared for us? Often there's stuff like, you know, people struggle with intimidation. People struggle with fears. Like I said, a lot of them are fear-based. Apathy is a big one in the body of Christ at the moment. Complacency. Oh, no, well, you know what? I'm comfortable here. I'm just doing my thing. No, just everybody leave me alone and give me stuff, and I'll serve God and nobody gets involved, type of thing. Procrastination is a big one in the body of Christ as well. Because of fears, because of things. No, you know what? It's not really going to work. You know what, guys? Those giants, and, you know, we've made the Psalms. It's not possible. I know, you know, there was this vision and there was this thing that somebody prayed over me, but that couldn't have been God because this is not going to work. Are you with me? So how often do these things oppose the kingdom? What are those enemies in your life that are opposing the kingdom coming? And I want to say to you, he says here, as wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. That's, and there's another scripture where it says the mountains will melt like wax before him. So everything that opposes God, you know, if put in order, has got no real substance, okay? It just disappears. And I want to encourage us tonight that if you find there are things in your life that are enemies that oppose the kingdom, then tonight I feel this grace to bring them before God and say, Lord, just deliver me from my enemies. Deliver me from your enemies as well. Deliver me from the stuff that is keeping me from the stuff that is opposing me, these enemies that are opposing me, in as I pursue your kingdom, as I pursue your righteousness. And I can I ask you something? If you find, yes, there is something, and you know it's damaging your relationship with God, you know it could even be sin, it could be something that you're doing, and not only that you're not doing, okay? If there's something that, yes, it is hurting your relationship with God, when would you say is the best time to deal with something like that? Because it's not a rocket science question. Imagine if you ever got a splinter in your finger or something. I'll get there from time to time. If it's a big one, it's quite painful. Even small ones are painful. And what normally happens, even say, for instance, you get this massive splinter right here in your thumb that you use all the time, right? And normally you would say, I'm just going to leave it there for 2 years, and then I'll deal with it later. That's how it works, huh? Just say, no, leave it there. It hurts. It hurts all the time. Or a thorn in your foot. Maybe we don't have thorns on our feet these days. We used to have them when we were little, like long ones like that. And they break off in your foot. It's not pleasant. And the last thing you do not say, no, you know what, I'll just leave it there. I'm not going to deal with it now. Maybe in a year or two. No, because it hurts. But I suppose if you leave it long enough, it'll maybe stop hurting, but it'll still be in there. And it's still going to do some damage in there. So, that's part of the title, is that when it comes to hearing the voice of God, when it comes to taking the land, when it comes to dealing with enemies, right now, right here and right now is the best place. When it comes to, if you have a conviction about investing into your family or being a better colleague or whatever, if you have a conviction that God is talking to you and you know what, I should change the way I spend time with my wife or with my family, when is the best time to do that? It's today. It's not, but let me just finish this project, and if I'm done with that bit, I'm just going to put in long nights, and then I'm going to finish that deadline, and then I'm going to go for it. Then I'm going to obey. Amen? But then there will be something else. So I want to say to us, I want to challenge us that look at what God is, what is for us. Look at the amazing promise of God in terms of I'm with you. And with that, say, God, I know that right here, right now, is the best time to obey. Okay, let's continue. I want to close. 1 John 4:5. This is a promise. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So, yes, there will be stuff that comes against us. Yes, we will face things and hectic times, and we will face enemies, but whatever is born of God will overcome the world. Whatever dream God puts in your heart, whatever conviction He gives you, it will overcome. So whether that means it's something that you have, if you have a passion for the worship team and you want to see change and you want to see growth and God has put that thing in your heart, then that thing that God has put there, it will overcome. If you have a passion for the community or whatever it is, whatever God has put in your heart, that thing that is birthed of Him will overcome. Don't let it go. Don't throw it away. Don't lose it. Amen? It will overcome and it will bring glory to Him. And finally, the reason why we can be confident in our in our pursuit of the kingdom and our pursuit of that promised land, and we're confident with all this blessing and promise and this amazing affirmation that God pours out on us, at the same time we know that He has not just sent delegation, He's not sent just people to bless us and support us. He's sent, He's given of Himself, He's given His Spirit. And we are not just running at this on our own. We are not just hoping for the best. We're not just kind of, just surviving. We have got the Spirit of God in us. He's got the Spirit of God poured out, the fullness of His power at our disposal. And the word in the scripture used for the Holy Spirit is in the Greek is called parakletos, which means the one who comes alongside to help. How's that? The King of the universe, his own Spirit comes alongside you. So if you have had any excuses until now or any doubts that God is with you, He says, I will send you another helper, the Spirit. Not just any Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Let's look at Romans 8, 9, and 11, 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, His Spirit who dwells in you. His Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that raised Him from the dead is in you. Okay? The same... that resurrection power is at work in and through our lives. And as if we're like walking through life and we're like making it, but we're not walking in that dimension of, you know what, the same Spirit is in me that raised Jesus from the dead. That overcoming Spirit, that victorious Spirit, that all-powerful Spirit is with me and in me and through me. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So He says, when you receive my Spirit, there's power there. There's transforming power. There's life-changing power. And most of us sitting here have had an experience with that power of God, have an experience of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that He says that power is with you, and you will receive it when you receive the Holy Spirit to do what I've called you to do. To take that land, to establish the kingdom, to take your territory. You have received power. I haven't left you alone. I've sent you a helper. I've poured out my Spirit. I've done everything in my power to launch you into this incredible adventure that I've prepared for you. And it's none of it is the same than anybody else. Okay? It's specifically for you and I. And you and I have a specific part to play in that land that we as a body are taking. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Let's pray as we close. So tonight, I want to trust God for just a seed of expectation to be planted in our hearts. A seed of daring to dream beyond the box that I'm in. Daring to fix my eyes onto Christ, onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Not to look around me, not to look at the giants, not to look at the opposition necessarily. Yes, I'm aware of them, but to decide to choose, Lord, I look to You because You are the author and the finisher of my faith. Nobody else. You are the one that started the good work in me, and You are the one that will finish it. You are the one that formed me in my mother's womb. You are the one that wrote down the days of my life. So I look to You, and I trust that You would put a seed of expectation in my heart again, a seed of excitement, a seed of urgency to take the land that You have entrusted to me, to possess it. So this morning, this evening, let's close our eyes for a moment. As we pray, Father, we thank You for Your word, God. We thank You that each of us, I just sense You want to just walk among, just that You're walking the aisles here this evening by Your Spirit, and You want to put Your hand on hearts that have been anxious, God. hearts that have been far from you, even hearts that have been afraid, Lord, some even afraid to acknowledge that they are doubting their belief, whether it be in you or in something else, Lord, something else, God. Some maybe hear that you want to just come and affirm, Lord. You want to quieten hearts, Lord, that have been afraid and have been unsteady, Lord. I just sense tonight, that right now Holy Spirit wants to just come and cover your heart and come and assure you that you are His beloved, that He loves you. He's formed you and He's made you. There are no accidents. There's nothing like an unplanned child. Yeah, maybe the parents didn't plan, but what do they know? God planned. He prepared. He formed you. He shaped you. He knew you even way before. And this evening you can know that His heart is for you. And His plan and His purpose for you is designed specifically so that you can walk in the fullness of that plan and that purpose and that promised land. And this evening He says to you, I'm with you. Be strong and be very courageous. I'm with you. As every eye is closed, if you're here this evening, let's just pray for a moment. Father, as every eye is closed, if you're this evening and you're not sure where you're at with God, maybe you have had some kind of relationship with Him, maybe you've been in church, but where you are now, where you're standing, you know in your heart of hearts that you have not responded to the love of God. And you know tonight that you would like to take hold of some of these amazing promises that you've heard that He has for you tonight. And if that's you and you know in your heart that you are not in a place where you have peace, have rest for your soul, you don't have peace with God tonight, then I want to give you an opportunity to choose tonight to say, Lord, I want to make peace with you. I want to make my peace with you tonight. I want to have rest for my soul. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to receive the gift of life through your Son, Jesus. If it's you tonight here, while every eye is closed, I'm not going to call people forward, but if you can just show by a hand, if you want to make that choice tonight, if you want to, even if it's just the first step, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen next, God, but I just want to soften my heart. If that's you, you just want to soften your heart. You just want to open the door of possibility to say, maybe there is somebody like God. Maybe there is a truth in this, and I've never given it any thought. I've never given it any consideration. If that's you tonight, nobody's watching. If every eye is closed, if you want to just indicate to God, if you want to just say, Lord, here I am. I want to know you. I want to hear. I want to have a relationship with you. Is there anybody like that tonight? Okay. Now, secondly, as we're praying, I just trust for a grace tonight that for us to bring those enemies to God, those things that are opposing His kingdom coming, those things that we rationalize in our minds, we rationalize around fear or insecurity or intimidation, or even if it's just apathy or procrastination or just complacency. Tonight, I want us to be bold, and where you're at, just take 30 seconds now, and where you're at, just where you're standing, or where you're sitting, just to, in your own words, just to bring it before God. And I want to encourage you to repent of that thing that you've allowed in your life and to bring it before Him and to allow Him to destroy the enemy that is keeping you from your promise right now. Just bring it before Him. Repent of it and lay it down. Cast it down. God, we thank you that we can bring the enemies of our souls before you. We bring these enemies that are opposing your kingdom before you, Lord. The fears and the distractions, God, and the apathy and the procrastination, God, and the intimidation that we bow to so often, and we repent in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you right now. We call on your name, Jesus Christ. You are our deliverer. Deliver us from this now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we call on you as our healer, Lord, our Savior, and our deliverer, Lord. And we believe tonight that your arm is not too short to deliver us. Your arm of deliverance is for us and with us, God. In the name of Jesus, right now, we thank you, God. Even I feel some are in cycles of destruction, cycles of suffering through the similar things, cycle after cycle after cycle. Tonight, I feel this grace to bring that, to break that cycle of destruction, break that cycle of stuff that you're wrestling with, stuff that you're struggling with, stuff that is stealing and keeping you from that abundance, keeping you from the promise. Tonight, bring it before Him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance, God. Thank you. And finally, Lord, we thank you, God, that we can come boldly before you because we've had this incredible just affirmation. You say you're with us. You will never forsake us. You go before us. You come behind us. You surround us. You're with us. You even sent your Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you sent to come alongside us. The same Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit, the same power that raised Him from the dead is in us and with us. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we can do as the apostles did, God, as the persecution started. They came together and they prayed and said, Lord, grant us a greater boldness, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Spirit and grant us a greater boldness, Lord, to take a hold of your promises, God, in the name of Jesus. So this evening we pray, God, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing, God, in Jesus' name. Fill us to a place that we will pop, Lord. We will just burst, Lord, with your goodness and your faithfulness and that we will literally let rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you fill us daily, Lord. Fill us daily, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill us daily with the power, the resurrection power of Christ. Fill us daily, Lord, with expectation and urgency, Father, to take the land, to take hold of your plan and your promise, to walk in it every day, that we would live like we mean it, Lord. Live on purpose, Lord, not just drift in and out of every day, God. I thank you, Lord, for a shift in hearts today to decide, I want to live on purpose. I want to live in the purpose of God. I want to live like I mean it. Take a hold of every opportunity. Take a hold of every day because it's only once that I live it. One. Every day comes once. And there's no time like the present. And that's one of the present. There's one word that I had for everybody who still eyes are closed tonight. If there's no better time to share His word. There's no better time to obey Him. There's no better time to do what He's called you to do than right now. It's not going to get easier down the line. You're not going to have more time. You're not going to be better positioned. You're not going to have more money. Now is the time. Obey what He's telling you right now. Take what He's laying on your heart and run with it. There will be no better time. It's right here, right now. Thank you, Lord, for urgency, Lord. Thank you for urgency as we obey you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.